certainly appreciate the presence of everyone. We have visitors, and you are our special guest. Appreciate you coming out to be with us if you're passing through. If you are in the community and you're looking for a place to worship, then we certainly would appreciate you thinking of us. Maybe you've come tonight looking for the truth. Maybe you've come tonight thinking that you will start your journey in life by being baptized, or maybe you've had sin in your life and you are wanting to correct that, and we would rejoice with you. We'd ask you to get out your Bibles and study with us as we study from God's Word, as we seek to be simply Christians, nothing more and nothing less. We'd invite you to study the things that we have to say, and if there's something you have a question about, then we'd be happy, of course, to speak with you about it. Brother Smith this morning talked about gossip. And gossip springs from an attitude of mind. An attitude, of course, being one's thinking, one's mindset. And our attitudes are seen in our actions and in our thoughts and in our manner, the way that we act, the things that we have to say, the way that we interact with other people. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The New Living Translation, and I'm not saying that the New Living Translation is something that we need to be using, but it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. And that's certainly true. The way that we think determines the way that we live and the way that we conduct ourselves. So, those are attitudes that determine our lives. And I would like to continue tonight talking about another attitude. And what I'd like for us to spend our time studying this afternoon, this evening, is I would like for us to think about the attitude of discontentment. Discontentment is one who is filled with dissatisfaction. They're looking for something more. They're not pleased. They're not happy. They're never satisfied. And it's easy for us many times to fill ourselves and our faults and our actions with discontent. It's a tool that the devil uses very, very well. And as we look, we see people who are dissatisfied with their jobs. They're dissatisfied with their lives, with their family. Maybe with their country or their surroundings, or maybe they're dissatisfied with their status in life. And we all know people that we come in contact with that are just not happy. They're discontent. They're not satisfied. And, you know, these people are always complaining, and they're always griping, and they hurt other people. And many times they destroy relationships. Many times they destroy themselves, and many times they cause great harm in people's lives and the things that they do. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul gave warning to the church at Galatia. He said, "If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another." And that's certainly true. The New Testament teaches us that we as Christians are to be contented people. We're not to be discontent. We're to be contented. We're to be happy. Philippians chapter 4, or chapter 2 rather, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the church at Philippi, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing." And again in chapter 4, in verse 11, talking of himself, he said, "I speak not in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content." Paul had learned to be contented. And we as Christians need to be contented in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, Paul told the church at Corinth, talking about Israel, "Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." We know the fate of Israel. And we know that one of the main problems they had was they were discontented. They murmured, they complained. And Paul warned the Corinthians, don't murmur like they did, because they were destroyed to the destroyer. Be careful that those kind of things not happen to you. So the contented person is not disgruntled. The contented person is not disheartened. He's happy. He's peaceful. He's content and satisfied with the way that things are. And that's the way that we as Christians are to be. We have a lot to be thankful for. But regardless of that, discontentment continues to be a major problem in people's lives. And also it continues to be a problem in the church. So when we think about discontentment, one of the reasons for discontentment is covetousness. People are covetous. And that's an innate desire for things which rightly belong to another. And people in our society today, that's what they want, just more and more and more material things. And that causes people to be discontent. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that covetousness is idolatry. It's idolatry because it takes the place of God in people's lives. And we see that. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he talks about fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affections, and other things. And he said, covetousness, which is idolatry. If I were to ask you the question tonight, picture in your mind a successful person. No doubt most of you would picture in your mind someone who has achieved financial success. They have a lot of material things, because in our society, that is how success is measured. By what kind of things you have, what kind of material success that you've attained, because we live in a society where people want more and more and more. And there are a lot of people who have sacrificed their families to getting material things. There are people who sacrifice their souls to getting material things because they're covetous. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 is a passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with. Timothy, as Paul writes to him, says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Those who want to be rich, they fall into temptation. They fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after they've erred from the faith and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We see a lot of people who are not content with what they have. They want a better car. They want a nicer house. Their furniture is not good enough. The clothes that they wear is not good enough for them. They think that more material things will bring them happiness. But that's not true. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver, and he that loveth abundance with increase. He said, this is vanity. And the Lord said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, which while some coveted after, beware of covetousness and be content with such things as you have. But we don't see that a lot of times in people. But the Christian is to be free from that. We're not to be involved in that, because that's not where our focus is. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, let your conversation be without covetousness. And young people, when we talk about conversation in the Bible, we're not talking about the fact when we say, let your conversation be without covetousness, we're not talking about the fact that that's not something you should talk about. Language changes. And when we talk about conversation in the Bible, we're talking about manner of life. We're talking about the way that one lives. So what he's saying is, don't let the way that you live, don't let your manner of life be filled with covetousness. That's not to be part of it. You know, the secret of contentment is knowing how to enjoy what we have. By knowing and not having that overwhelming desire for things that are beyond our reach. In other words, we put material things in their proper place. and in their proper perspective. But another thing that causes people to be discontent many times is envy. People become envious. It's being discontent at the excellence or the good fortune of another. And envy and jealousy are kin to each other. And envy causes jealousy. It causes strife. It causes contentions. And even causes hatred and even murder because of people's envy and their jealousy. Because envy gets its satisfaction through strife and contention. Because where envy is in the heart, strife is the outward result of that. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and contention." And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking." These are things we have to put aside. These are things that cannot be a part of a Christian's life. Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." We as Christians can't be involved in that, but we see it many, many times. As we go back and look at history, we see that Cain killed Abel because God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. He was not pleased with Cain's. So Cain was jealous. Cain envied Abel and he slew him. And we remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul envied David. The women were saying, "David has killed his 10,000s and Saul has killed his thousands." Saul was very jealous of that. He was envious of David and he sought upon several occasions to kill David because of his jealousy, because of his envy. You remember envy drove Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. He had the dreams, if you remember. And he had the coat of many colors that his father had made him. He was his father's favorite son. And his other brothers were envious of that. They were jealous of that. And they sold him into Egyptian slavery. And we also remember Matthew chapter 27, verse 18, that Pilate knew that it was because of envy that they had sold our Lord and crucified our Lord, because they envied him for his popularity, for the things that he done. So envy is a very grievous sin. And men are no different today than they were during Bible days. People envy today. People are jealous today. Maybe they envy someone because of their personality. Maybe they envy someone because they're more popular than they are. Or maybe they have the perfect family. Maybe they have that job that everybody is looking for, that everybody would like to have. Maybe they envy their position. Maybe they envy their ability that they have to do things. They're envious of those kind of things. Or maybe they're envious of their position in life. Maybe they're envious of the possessions that they have. So, you know, if they're envious, they're jealous, it's because they want it for themselves. And they picture themselves coming to this person, whether it be possessions, maybe they have an expensive car, they picture themselves with that expensive car, or maybe they have the abilities that this person wants, and they picture themselves in their mind having those abilities and to come in with that person, you know, "Well, I'm equal with you." You know, that's what happens, and it eats at people and eats them up. And envy and pride have destroyed more relationships than we could ever think of. It's separated families. It's separated friends. It's even separated brethren than anything could ever do. Another thing that causes people to be dissatisfied is a murmuring and complaining attitude. You know, that was the major problem with Israel. They weren't happy with what God had given. They weren't happy with God's arrangements. They rejected God. And, of course, God rejected them because of their lack of faith and because of their sin. And they murmured. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, and I'm going to quote the New Living Translation again, "In everything you do, stay away from complaining." In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. You know, some people are just never satisfied with anything. and they have to murmur. They have to always be complaining because they're disgruntled with life. There's nothing that they're happy about. And we see that at work. We see that in our coworkers, no doubt. You know, as we go to our jobs and we work, you know, there are people who are always complaining about something. They're always murmuring about something. And they're just never happy. And there's no way that you can make those people happy. But, you know, those kind of people are not limited to work. We see them in families. We see them in family relationships. We see them in the church. We see people who just got to complain and they got to murmur and they're just not happy with anything. You know, some brethren are unhappy, you know, where they go to worship. You know, they're unhappy with the preacher. You know, we're not growing, so, you know, it's the preacher's fault. And, you know, they're unhappy with the Bible class teacher. You know, well, he just spends too much time. He goes too slow, or, you know, he goes too fast, or, you know, he's dull, or, you know, I just don't like the way he does it. They're not happy with the song leader. Either he's too slow or he's too fast, or I don't like the way he beats time. Sometimes they're unhappy with just members of the congregation. You know, they're quick to find fault with things that people in the congregation do. They don't like the decisions the elders make. They don't like the jobs that the deacons are doing. You know, they find fault with those things. They're unhappy. And, you know, they could do a better job, maybe. And maybe so. Maybe they could do a better job. But they're just not happy, and they're always complaining about what's going on. There are people who are discontented with the truth of the gospel. They're not happy and content to abide in what the Lord has given us. You know, so we see that in denominationalism especially, changing the worship, changing God's laws and those kind of things because they put their own desires in place of it. They don't love the truth. They want to do what they want to do, and it doesn't make any difference. And the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 15, in verses 8 and 9, a passage again that we're all familiar with, He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, and honoreth me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me." You know, they're saying the right things, they look like Christians, you know, they're doing the things that they ought to do, but their heart's not in it. And He said, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." They weren't content to do the things that the Lord would have them to do. And He says, "Your worship is vain." And when we today are not content to abide in the gospel of Christ and to do the things that God would have us to do, then our worship is vain also. And there are those who are not contented with their companions. You know, a man has been married to a wife of his youth, and all of a sudden he decides he wants to go out and marry another woman. Israel did that. Malachi chapter 2 talks about it and talks about the fact that God was displeased with it, that they had dealt treacherously with the wife of their youth. And, you know, this man's forgotten that he needed this wife. God created woman as a helpmeet for man, and she has completed him, filled him emotionally and mentally and physically, and she's taken the void out of his life and shared his life and helped him to achieve things and to achieve a full and balanced life, which without her would not have happened. And she's been with him in his triumphs, and she's been with him in his disappointments and his defeats. And she's brought his children into the world and took care of them, helped him to gain respect to the people, as Proverbs chapter 31 tells us. And he wants to give this up for another woman, or a woman wants to give this up for another man. It goes both ways. And so, because people are just discontent. But God says, "I hate your putting away. I hate your divorce. And I won't stand for those kind of things." And the danger is, we could talk about many, many more things that cause discontent. But the danger is, we can become so discontented and fill our lives full of poison that we lose our faith. And we fall into unbelief. Letting negative sins and evil attitudes control our lives will cause us to lose our faith because it's a cancer. And it just eats at us and eats at us until all our faith is gone. It hardens our heart and will cause us to lose our soul. So, as Christians, we have to control our thoughts. We have to control our attitudes. We have to control our actions. And Psalms 37:25 says, God will take care of us. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them begging bread. God will take care of us if we put Him first in our lives and do the things that He would have us to do. Paul tells us, if you'll turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, another passage that's very, very familiar to us, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we'll carry nothing out. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. The way we find happiness, the way we find contentment and true peace is in righteousness, is in doing the will of God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if we'll do that, then it'll promote happiness in our lives. It'll fill us full of love. It'll fill us full of joy. And we'll have unity and we'll have peace. Peace with ourselves and peace with other people. But you know, for us to be contented, we got to work at it. It's not just something that's going to happen. We've got to think in our minds and ask ourselves a question, am I guilty of discontentment? And I tell you, as I was getting this lesson together, you know, that's a question I have to ask myself. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves and try to profit from our study. We've got to work at it. We have to count our blessings. And we have a lot of blessings to be thankful for. A lot of times we get to feeling sorry for ourselves maybe in certain situations that we're in, but we have to count our blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We have a lot to be thankful for. We live in a time where we're blessed so greatly, beyond our comprehension. The material things we have, the necessities of life that we have, the advances that we have that our parents and our grandparents didn't have. You know, we don't have to use a rub board anymore. We don't have to go outside and draw water and those kind of things. We're blessed so greatly from a physical, from a material standpoint, more than we ever deserve. You know, we're able to see the natural beauty that God has created for us. For our pleasure, we have our families. We have our friends. We live in a land that's free. We don't have the persecution that a lot of people have to suffer. We have the respect of the good people of the world. But most importantly, we have a God who hears us and who answers our prayers. And we have the Word of God and a Savior who died for us. And through that, we have hope of heaven. We have fellowship with God's people. And we have the opportunity and the privilege of helping to save the world from sin. We have a lot of things that we can be thankful for and be contented. But in order to be content, we have to stop concentrating on the negative things of life. And we need to transfer our attention and our affection to higher things, to more important things, to holier things. In other words, we need to be busy doing the Lord's work. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We need to seek things that are more than this world. We need to be satisfied with the holier things of life. We have a higher thing to attain to. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these necessary things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about those things. God will take care of us. And we need to realize that, and we need to understand that. And as Jeff said this morning, we need to keep busy. You know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. We need to be busy doing the Lord's work. We need to be busy doing the things that God would have us to do. We have families, we have jobs, we have our obligations to the Lord. And that's enough to keep us busy. When we become idle, then that gives us time for all kinds of sin. We need to be like Jesus. We need to busy ourselves doing the things that God would have us to do. And we need to think about how bad things could be. You know, no matter what we're going through, we can always look around and find someone that's in worse shape than we are. Things could always be worse. And we need to learn that happiness is not tied to things. Happiness is not tied to things. And cultivate a deep sense of appreciation for the simple and the necessary things of life, and avoid overemphasizing the unnecessary. 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul said, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. We need to content ourselves and have faith that God will take care of us. We need to put others before ourselves. If we do that, then we'll not be discontented. We need to profit from their abilities. We need to cultivate our own abilities. We need to be patient with their shortcomings because we certainly have our own. But it's hard for us to see them sometimes. It's a lot easier for us to see other people's shortcomings than to see our own shortcomings, but I guarantee you, we all have them. We need to be more patient with people and their shortcomings. And we need to love them as we love ourselves. In summary, we need to put God first. And then, secondly, we need to put others. And then lastly, we need to put ourselves. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 22 when He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on this two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But I tell you, it also is what hangs the gospel. We love God, and then we love other people as we love ourselves. And we put ourselves last. And in that way, we'll not be discontent. We'll not be stirring up contention. We'll not be stirring up strife. We'll not be trying to destroy other people because of our own problems and our own imperfections. But then again, there are some things that we should never be content with. We should never be content to tolerate error or those who teach error. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, another passage we're all familiar with. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. He that bringeth this into your house, do not bid him Godspeed, because he who bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We should never be content to tolerate error. We should always stand firm on doing the Lord's will and sticking to the gospel. And it's the duty of every Christian to stand for truth. It's the duty of every Christian to be sure that we're getting what we need spiritually. And we must not be content with what we are spiritually. We must always be growing. This was the folly of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3. If you remember, they were lukewarm. And the Lord said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you make me sick. We can't be that way. We're either falling behind or we're growing and growing closer to God. There's no middle ground. And we as Christians should never be content with where we are spiritually. And we must never be content with past works. I've done this and I've done that. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. What matters is what are we doing today? What are we going to do in the future? We must never be content with what we've done, whether it's the abundance or the lack of. So in conclusion, we need to look at ourselves and we need to ask ourselves the question, have I been guilty of being discontent? If so, we need to determine that we're not going to be that anymore, that we're going to be the kind of person that God would have us to be, that we're going to be contented and we're going to be busy doing the Lord's will. We need to learn to be content with our physical limitations. We need to be content with where we are materially and put our emphasis on doing the Lord's will. But we must always strive to be more spiritually in the future than we are today. So, have you been discontent? Have I been discontent? Am I pleased with where I am this day? Are you pleased with where you are this day? Are you pleased with your spiritual relationship with God? Are you pleased with your relationship that you have with God? Or do you desire to make yourself better? And we all need to make ourselves better. But maybe there's someone here who hasn't taken that step to be baptized and become a Christian. You certainly are not pleased with your situation in life. Maybe there's someone here who has sin in their life that needs to make correction to that. And to make your life better, to make yourself better, to restore that relationship with God. There's no better time. Angels in heaven will rejoice. We'll rejoice with you. The main thing is your sins will be forgiven and you'll be saved. And maintain that relationship with God, because we're looking, as Paul said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Never looking back, but looking forward to a hope of heaven. If you're subject, would you come right now as we stand and sing?